Ukraine agrees to a ceasefire. Now it's up to Russia.
Today we made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable.
Could this be the beginning of the end?
Things are moving quite rapidly. Whether the Russians will agree to a 30-day ceasefire is an open question.
Today is Tuesday, March 11th, and this is The Issue on VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London.
We're going to take the offer to them. We're going to tell them this is what's on the table. Ukraine is ready to stop shooting and start talking. And now it'll be up to them to say yes or no. I hope they're going to say yes. And if they do, then I think we've made great progress. If they say no, then we'll unfortunately know what the impediment is to peace here.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio on Ukraine's agreement to a ceasefire with Russia following high-level talks between Kyiv and the United States in Saudi Arabia on Tuesday.
The solution to this war and the way to end it and to achieve the president's objective of peace is to negotiate. But before you can negotiate, you have to stop shooting at each other. And that's what the president has wanted to see. And that's the commitment we got today from the Ukrainian side, their willingness to do that. Obviously, now that'll be delivered to the Russians. It'll be delivered to them directly through multiple channels, meaning not only will they obviously see it, it'll be communicated to them through our diplomatic channels, through conversations and other methods, but they'll obviously be well aware. And our hope is that the Russians will say yes, that they will also agree. So the shooting will stop, the killing will stop, the dying will stop, and the talks can begin about how to end this war permanently in a way that's acceptable and enduring for both sides.
As for details, National Security Advisor Mike Walls said there were a number of issues discussed, including prisoner exchanges, but the bottom line is that the fighting needs to stop.
Just think about it. We've gone from if the war is going to end to now how the war is going to end. And this was an important first step. And that was under President Trump's leadership. He has literally moved the entire global conversation.
Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, is expected to travel later this week to Moscow, where he could meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
So let's talk about what could happen next. Joining us is Thomas Graham, a distinguished fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and co-founder of Yale University's Russian, East European, and Eurasia Studies program.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. We appreciate it.
Not a problem.
So the Trump administration has now officially lifted, at least for now, suspension of military aid and intelligence sharing for Ukraine after meetings in Saudi Arabia, with high-level meetings with officials from the United States and Kyiv, signaling, coming out of that, saying they're open to, or at least Ukraine is open to a 30-day ceasefire in the war with Russia. Obviously, right. Also that's pending an agreement from Moscow. Mm-hmm. What is your initial reaction and thoughts on what has transpired and where it may be going?
Well, it was clear that the American administration was going to put some pressure on the Ukrainians to move forward rapidly on a settlement to the crisis, particularly after the events of the past couple of weeks. The pause and the military aid intelligence was meant to put pressure on the Ukrainians, and it's clear that the Ukrainians have gotten the message. And that they've agreed to a ceasefire, 30-day preliminary ceasefire. That was an American proposal, is my understanding. And we'll see what the Russians say in response. Witkoff, my understanding, is supposed to be in Moscow on Thursday, or a meeting with President Putin hasn't been confirmed at this point. President Trump has talked about a talk with President Putin. So things are moving quite rapidly. Whether the Russians will agree to a 30-day ceasefire is an open question. I would imagine they will have some issues that they'll want to raise to make sure that a 30-day ceasefire is a positive step. It's going to be very difficult to monitor, in part because it's a 30-day ceasefire of all hostilities. And the military forces are operating in close proximity to one another. particularly in the eastern part of Ukraine. So the risk that there will be a rogue element that will break the ceasefire, or there'll be confusing things happening on the ground and people will believe they're being shot at in return, means that it'll be very difficult to police this ceasefire. And I would imagine that is something that the Russians will have concerns about.
What is the calculus for Russia? It would seem that regardless of where it goes from the 30 days, the 30-day pause would give both sides time to sort of, you know, reset.
Well, that's obviously, that's true. That's what people have been concerned about with the ceasefire that doesn't lead to an enduring settlement. One of the reasons that the Russians might hesitate to agree to a ceasefire at this point is there's still Ukrainian troops in Kursk Oblast. And that is Russian territory that's internationally recognized. The Russians have been engaged in a very active effort to push the Ukrainians out of Kursk in the past couple of weeks. They made a major advance yesterday. And there may be some hesitation to agree to a ceasefire until they have pushed the Ukrainians entirely off of Russian territory, again, for the very reason that you just mentioned. If we do a 30-day ceasefire, this gives people a chance to recuperate, rearm, and it may make it even more difficult from the Russian standpoint to push the Ukrainians out of Kursk. So I wouldn't be surprised if the response is, yes, we're prepared to agree to a 30-day ceasefire, but we have to agree on the terms of what that ceasefire are. And until we have agreement on the terms of the ceasefire, we will continue to fight.
So what exactly do you think a ceasefire would look like?
Well, I mean, I would presume a ceasefire would be a ceasefire in place. And again, it doesn't, the ceasefire is meant to be a preliminary to a peace negotiation and settlement. So agreeing to a ceasefire doesn't compromise any of the positions that you've made at this point. Mm. I would imagine if there were serious negotiations, the ingoing Russian position would be that the Ukrainians need to withdraw from what the Russians claim to be Russian territory.
President Trump said today, when asked about it, that if Russia doesn't agree to a ceasefire, then the war will continue and more people will die. I presume in that subtext is, we'll send Ukraine more weapons.
Well, I mean, they've already lifted the pause. If they're going to send them more weapons, he would have to send a supplemental to Congress to request the funding for it. How quickly he could do that is an open question. Yes, I would imagine that's what he's going to do. Quite frankly, I don't think the Russians will be terribly impressed by that.
And it sounds like the Kremlin is pretty much sticking to its conditions for peace ultimately. We haven't heard them publicly offer any concessions. How difficult would that make this to actually having a long-term agreement?
Well, look, I mean, the positions between the Ukrainians and the Russians are almost irreconcilable. The Russians have issued maximal positions. They've stuck to that in public. Nothing that I've heard about conversations between Russians or Americans has suggested that they're moving off those positions. The Ukrainians are intent on maintaining some level of sovereignty and independence. The Russians want a friendly Ukrainian government in Kiev. But that's what negotiations are for. Compromises have to be made in order to reach a deal if each side is inclined to reach a deal, and the Russians would have to back off their maximal positions. But it's unrealistic to think that they're going to back off them before they're sitting at the negotiating table and seeing what is on offer.
For the Ukrainians, it would seem like the tactical move forward would be let it play out. If Russia remains so intractable, they have no culpability in the talks falling apart, right?
No, I'm sure that's the calculation on the Ukrainian part, is that let's agree. We have nothing to lose at this point. Now the administration has to take it to the Russians, and the ball's in the Russian court. If the Russians don't agree, then Russia becomes the impediment, and the question is what is Washington prepared to do about that to bring the Russians to the negotiating table?
Where do you think that the U.S. appears to stand at this point?
Well, I mean, the president has said repeatedly that he wants peace, that he wants to end this war. You know, the administration has positioned itself as a broker, which means it's not 100% behind either side. But I think the administration would like to put this behind them. There are a range of other things, other issues that they want to deal with the Russians on. The Ukraine conflict is an impediment to moving forward on those things. So the goal would be, as the president said, let's settle this as quickly as possible, stop the killing. And there are other things that we need to work on.
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Good luck.
That was Thomas Graham, a distinguished fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and co-founder of Yale University's Russian, East European, and Eurasian Studies program.
You've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone here at VOA, both those of us who work in Washington and all of our people around the world, thank you so much for spending this time with us.
And for news 24 hours a day, you can check out our website at voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Laura London. We'll talk to you tomorrow.